I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion.
Hello, welcome back to Trash Opinions. This is Trash. The previous video was Africa. If you haven't seen it, you can watch it. I have it linked in the description. But without further ado, let's just get right into Marquesas.
And it's simply to master every bone of your body. That means how you breathe, how you speak, how you see, how you hear, how you urinate, how you go to the bathroom. And until you are aware of even that, right? Most people aren't even aware they have seven holes above their head.
He looks like a normal guy, you know, but he's going on and on about being holy. And I'm thinking he's talking about spiritualness, but he's talking about actual holes in your body. I mean, he's a Fruit Loop.
Peter Harkey. There were a lot of holes to Peter's game the whole time he talked about his holy holes. Whole seminar on holes. Holes. Okay, I'll stop. Peter Harkey is someone I would love to see on a return. On any other season, I feel like he makes a decent run. The entire reason he was voted off was because he wanted to talk strategy when nobody else did, which is weird because that's literally what Survivor is. But hey, early season's gonna early seasons. They're weird to watch sometimes. Fun downfall. Holes.
Put it on my back, please, since you got it on your hands.
Notice she didn't ask us.
He has it on his hand, yeah.
You want that much?
Yeah, be sure to go up underneath the bathing suit. In the pervert, no mama.
Rub it on there, go ahead.
Right.
Woo! I need it, y'all. I burn.
I'm trying to spit it all out, I mean, you're white.
Nasty. Go underneath.
Patricia Jackson. Mama is a very forgettable member of the cast, and I always forget about her when thinking about this season. She really doesn't do much other than talking about working hard, being overbearing, and aligning herself with Hunter pretty early. Her only character moment is having lotion applied to her arms. I struggle to find things to say about her. She's meh.
I think the prevailing wind's gonna probably switch and come from this direction.
The prevailing wind?
Yeah.
Is this the weather station over here?
I know you mean well, but you sound like today forecast. A little bit of wind blowing to the east, but in the morning when we wake up, the sun will be up and...
My nickname for Hunter is MacGyver.
Hunter Ellis. The Survivor MacGyver himself. Hunter is someone I'm surprised never returned, since he seems to be what production looks for in these early seasons. Guys who are these big, alpha machismo survivalists. However, that's what Hunter seemed to think that the game was, and it is what led to his blindside. He was the perceived leader of the tribe, and it's quite interesting that this early in the series, a tribe would vote out their strongest member for strategy. He pisses off Rob and Sean by being all about work, and he gets voted off just because he doesn't understand the game of Survivor. He's surprisingly funny during the morning show segments, and does have some enjoyable moments.
Let's get a weather report. Somebody turn on the weather station.
Got today's weather report, Hunter?
Hold on, let me turn to the station.
Go on now.
Hunter Ellis with today's morning weather. Today's Marquesan weather report coming to you live from Happiness Cove in the Marquesan Islands. Right now it is partly sunny, temperatures in the mid-80s, but it will reach a blistering 160 degrees according to Rob today.
What you got for us up there in the air, Hunter?
Well, we're up here above the Marquesan Cove. It's going to be about a million degrees according to Jose or Julio, whatever his name is this morning.
Just he didn't have the right tribe or the right mindset, but I think he belongs in Golden Boy.
Sarah's arrival was almost like Cleopatra. It was like the servants are paddling and lifting, and she's sitting on the crate looking so marvelous with her boobs hanging out and her Goldilocks in the air.
Sarah Jones. Sarah is another player who did the flirt game before Julie Berry. I mean, it doesn't get her anywhere, but at least she somehow survives three entire tribal councils when she was a pariah pretty much immediately. All she did was align herself with Boston Rob, and like Kim Powers, I don't think she's interesting at all, and she's another very forgettable character on the season. She just kind of existed through Rob. Her only notable moment was saying, apparently I have to be, which I must admit lives rent-free in my head, but she's still meh.
You guys were talking, saying I wasn't working, when no one even bothered to wake me up. You know what I mean? You needed me to do something? Damn it, give me up.
Then you're being paranoid, but please don't be sensitive about it.
Apparently, I have to be.
No, you don't.
Apparently, I have to be.
Are you saying that you would lie to win this game?
Oh, I'm not even here to play the game, man. I'm here for what we had. I'm here for that society that we had of eight people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to see if eight people from all over the country, from eight different kinds of lives, can come here and do this and live and be happy and build something amazing.
But would you lie to win the game?
I'm not here to play the game. So
well,
the
you are playing
no.
the game. You are here.
No.
But would you
That's
lie?
That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for the
game. Gabriel says he's not playing the game. I mean, you are here to play this game. You're not here on a commune. You know, this is not the 60s and, you know, free love and all that kind of stuff.
Gabriel Cade. He's just trying to create society. Game's a weird one, but in a good way. I totally get if this was Borneo, but it's not. So his complete willful unawareness of the game 2 years into the show's run is absolutely baffling. Gabe is such an anomaly that it makes me sort of love him. Like, not enough to put him any higher than any rootable tier, but he's someone I'm forever fascinated by. He did not want to play the game of Survivor. He instead wanted to play a fantasy version of Survivor where everyone lives in harmony and nobody gets voted off. Like, what did he think this was? But he's really entertaining. He will tell people that what their problem is straight to their face, and he seems like a really cool, real dude.
I think it's great that you found where the food was, but I don't think that any of us should slip into one role.
I'm just saying that we don't know each other's. I don't even know what Pascal
does. Kathy, then why don't you talk to us?
Stop going off by yourself. We're also trying to be a society.
Oh, I'm fine on that.
But then why don't you know anything about us?
I do know some. I've been looking for food.
There's more going on here than building the shelter and getting food. There's a lot more going on than making sure we have water and making sure we have fire.
All I want is a roof over my head.
That's not all that I want. I want to know you. I'd rather get to know you before I had a shelter.
Honestly, John Carroll sunk his game by getting rid of him. It made absolutely no sense to turn on his own that early, especially with Pascal and Nalia on the other side. But where to put him is a tough call. I don't think he's quite Golden Boy, so just because his exit is so bewildering, I might put him in fun downfall.
Gabe had written Pascal a poem while they were all over there at Row 2 the first 10 days, and Pascal and Gabe bonded like father and son. Pascal doesn't have any sons, and he has said repeatedly that if he had a son, he would, you know, love for him to be just like Gabe.
Gina Cruz. Gina, for whatever reason, gets a massive edit on the season. I don't know if it was to subvert expectations of her making a deep run, or they just really found Gina interesting for some reason. And I'm glad they did, because I sure didn't. She's just kind of bland and very forgettable, which is wild to say because of how big of an edit she actually got. Despite having a huge number of confessionals comparatively, I can't think of a single standout moment from any of them, and I can't think of anything really gameplay-wise she did either, and I just watched the season. They also expected us to get really sad at her boot, but I don't get how we were supposed to become emotionally attached to such a bland character. She's totally in meh.
Really does.
Doesn't matter if my team is stronger physically or even stronger mentally, but just that they obey. It's all on how smart these people are. If they realize if they need you, that's what'll keep them loyal, right? Fear, basically. It's a tough principle, but fear keeps people loyal. If they're afraid they have something to lose, then they'll do what they tell you to do. That's straight out of The Godfather. It's true.
Rob Mariano. Hey, Boston Rob before he was Boston Rob. It's easy to forget he was even on the season because he completely cemented his legacy on his next season. But here, he's just kind of figuring out the game. He's not very good at it. He does a lot of dumb shit like outing John Carroll, not having a filter, and come to Merge, he's pretty much put himself in a position where he's the obvious Merge boot.
I think to a degree I may have convinced him that I'm part of the team now. I want him to trust me, but he shouldn't.
Are you gay, dude?
Don't ask me that.
You want to say that?
Yeah, I am.
It was very passive-aggressive, like a throwaway comment. Hey, are you gay? But, you know, hey, I'm 36 years old. I've been out for a long time. So I said, yeah, you know, I am. I said, thanks for outing me, you know.
Really, though? He should have gone out fifth when Gabe did. I'm shocked he survives that vote. Does he even get picked for All-Stars if that happens? I don't know. Regardless, Rob's still a fun presence on the season when he's not being a douche. He still has that Boston Rob charm, that fantastic way of narrating, fun lines here and there, referencing mob movies, all that's still there. A lot of people say his All-Star spot was unwarranted, but Boston Rob completely makes that pre-merge. He's a great character despite some aspects of it having not aged well. There is no way I can't put him outside of Grant, so he's definitely going into entertaining.
I need somebody who has to pee. I need somebody who can pee on my hand. Somebody can pee? Somebody have to go to the bathroom?
John Carroll. John Carroll is what not to do as the leader of an alliance 101. The fact that they're all gloating like they won when there's only four of them and five of them is kind of hilariously sad. They all totally had it coming. Anyway, John Carroll himself is a fun character. He definitely has his moments, like the scene of him coming out of the water screaming for someone to pee on his hand is absolutely hilarious. Side mini rant, whoever invented the myth of pee being a solution for jellyfish and sea urchin stings for sure had a piss fetish. You can't tell me otherwise. Dude just wanted to have an excuse to have someone pee on him. Also, Kathy is a solid friend for that.
This is gross, but...
I don't care, I don't care. Just come out.
Hey, man, put it under there.
Okay. I don't know where my hand is. Okay.
Just get it out.
Okay.
I mean, that could have been, like, peroxide as far as I'm concerned. I didn't even think of it being weird that she was squatting down and I had my hand between her legs.
Let's see, you had to go to the bathroom.
I mean, it was like, do what it takes to make you feel good. I don't care what you have to do.
Thank you.
Finally, when I think I was pulling up my pants, I suddenly got very embarrassed. But it made me feel good. At least I perform in the Call of Duty.
John completely sinks his game by voting out Gabriel and thinking that 4 beats 5. He for sure is the poster boy for a fun downfall. Even more so than Silas.
Respect. You want me to tell you from the get-go, I didn't like you. I didn't really dig you. I didn't, like, dig the way your eyes were, your presentation.
I have changed my opinion of Zoe. Zoe's a bit.
Zoe Xanadakis. The fact that Zoe tells Tammy to her face that she doesn't like her and never liked her is absolutely bonkers. Like, what? Why would you even do that? But besides that, Zoe didn't do fucking anything. Row 2-4 deserved it. Zoe barely got any content and is booted. Meh. Tammy Leitner. I mean, I guess if the Row 2-4 stays in power, she has a good chance to win the game. If it wasn't for her final tribal council speech being memorable, I would have no idea who she is. I just watched the season and I have no idea what Tammy did. She existed. It's hard to find things to say about people this non-existent. Meh.
I have always been upfront about the way that I was going to play this game. Said all along that I was going to lie, I was going to cheat, I was going to do whatever it took to win this game. But sometime during the game, my strategy changed. I started feeling bad about the way I was playing the game. And it was because of you two and your holier-than-thou attitude and I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to cheat. Let's take this game to a new level. Let's play it with ethics and morals and integrity. Well, you guys are hypocrites as far as I'm concerned. And you may have been the two biggest liars out on the island.
Robert the General DeCaneo. Finally, we get to the last of the Row 2-4. The General is such a wet fart of a character. He barely exists, he lasts way too long, doesn't do a fucking thing, and yet has the nerve to demand a nickname. I don't even know why he calls himself the General, either. As far as I know, he's never served. Him acting like some wannabe East Coast tough guy, and then he's a fucking limo driver, is kind of hilarious. He injures himself with a machete and needs to be the macho tough guy and act like it's no big deal, literally saying, "You think with all these tattoos, pain affects me," which is so corny. I'm mostly laughing at him, not with him. Road 2-4 sucks. He solely belongs in meh.
I'm playing the game exactly how I came in playing, which is, if you're true to yourself, that's the true game of life. The only thing that's changing is my attitude. Oh, see how happy I am? I am past gas and feel free as a bird.
Sean Rector. Sean is a character and person. I am so grateful for being on the show. We have not gotten a character like him since. It's awesome he got to last through almost the entire season. It's a shame he's never returned, because he's honestly one of my favorite characters, not just on the season, of all time. The black perspective was something that was severely lacking from Survivor at this point, and Sean comes out with realness and introspective thoughts and words from the gate. He will tell you what it's like to be black without any hesitation, and it's incredibly brave for him to be that vulnerable, whether he views it as a vulnerability or not. It's cool, he can call it whatever he wants.
Like from day one, myself and V never had a pact, although some people thought, okay, there's the black couple, they're definitely together.
You know, we haven't walked around saying, okay, we're the two African-Americans, you know, we're sticking together.
By no means is there a V and Sean connection that's on the down low or whatever. Felt like the conversation was sidetracked when Aaliyah tried to interject that there's something going on with V and myself. And I had to tell her, just because V and I are African-Americans, we share a bond that you won't really be able to understand. Does that mean we're an automatic alliance? No. Because a few times V has flipped the script on me and let me down.
What's the deal?
They ain't going to shush me up, vote me out, but I'm going to speak my mind. She did not know. Now, they can play this hanky-panky with everybody and do that because I'm always speaking out. Vote me out if that's your conscience. But y'all deal with the BS, vote me out. She did not know. Oh, man, I know I'm young and I might talk a whole lot, but some of the stuff I make sense. Damn, man, I do listen, Pap. I still got respect for you, but damn it, I'm a man too, man. And all I'm saying is, none of this jives up. Because if these two had a pact, that means they doing the same thing they're accusing me and V of doing.
I'm not saying but that
I'm disingenuous when I do it.
Just let it go. Okay.
Let it go.
5 years ago, I'd have been worse than Rob. I probably would have wanted to push John in that freaking fire. The reason I'm more upset because I've had personal one-on-ones with John. And we've self-disclosed stuff, how it's like to be a black man, how it's like to be a gay man, what it's like to be isolated. We share moments that ain't got nothing to do with this game. And when we share those kind of moments, and then you come and try to pull some BS like this, it's really hurtful.
He's honestly one of the most honest people to ever be on the show, and we've never got anyone like him since. Not only is he a fantastic talker, but he's absolutely hilarious. The line, "That's like saying anyone wants this piece of doo-doo," is absolutely brilliant and hilarious. The entire morning show routine that he and the tribe do every day is something that doesn't get enough love at all.
Tell me something. I hear a rumor that there's two type of no-nos out there. They got some black ones and they got some white ones. Which one do you think you've been bit by?
I think I've been getting bitten by the black ones the most. Because those
ring!
Are...
Ring! 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 Ring!
Oh, my God! My phone's lighting up, brother. What did you say? What
this
happened?
This is now something and this is ludicrous. It's a conspiracy. No-no's got to be the worst ones on the island. All the white ones are just as bad. The black ones get blamed for all the bad ones. They incarcerate all the black no-nos. All the black no-nos get in trouble with the law, I tell you. I'm out of here. I got to go.
It's one of the most entertaining parts of the season. I also felt bad watching Sean have to ride that horse. I'm with Sean on this one. Horseback riding is not a reward. It might be for Colby, but it's not for Sean.
Dude, you know, horses are big animals. I hope these horses are all right. They decide they want to throw you off. You're on the ground with broken bones. Nice horsey. How you doing?
Oh, he's biting him. Oh, my God. Oh, look. No.
Come off.
Okay, come in here. In this horse.
With you. Okay.
And the last thing you want to see is two horses, all the horses, like, biting each other and just...
Oh, see?
But the Marquesian men seem to have him under control, and I'm like, no, this is not going to work.
Wait, my boss. It really hurts.
But Sean Rector not only told us what it was like to be a black man on Survivor, but a black man on television as well. He's so on top of it, and seeing this sort of thing being discussed in 2002 was extremely important back then. It just wasn't on TV. I'm glad he had a platform to discuss his thoughts and feelings. It's one of the only things from this stage of Survivor to have aged well, really. His bond with Vesepia is incredibly endearing. And I consider them to be one of the best duos of old school Survivor, even if they denied being that close. Come on, you love each other. Stop.
Was there anything else in there?
Let me see.
It was.
Yep, here. Birthday wish, baby. Come here, give me a birthday hug.
I caught it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vesepia. And I don't even sing. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my brother. Thank you so much.
I know how much this means to be away from home and away from our family and on this day. I just want to tell you happy birthday, sister. I love you, okay?
Sean is fantastic. Top tier as fuck. It's definitely going in favorite.
Checkmate, bruh. Thought you had me. So anytime you go to Vegas, bet on black. But we definitely gonna have chicken and waffles when this whole thing is done.
Man, that was good. I was really looking forward to the bill because I had no idea what something like this would cost. I figured maybe $150.
Holy cow! Oh, my heck!
The bill was $312, which, of course, I didn't flinch because it was not my money. It could have been $3,000. It wouldn't have mattered to me.
Tip, that's $200.
Thank you, sir.
It's worth every penny of it.
Yes.
Pascal English. Pappy's a cute and endearing old man, comparable to Roger. I wouldn't say he's quite on the level of Roger, but he's endearing enough where him lasting a long time actually feels warranted considering what he offers. Him getting knocked out of the game by rocks sucks.
Drawing rocks, to me, seems like the fairest thing.
It's fair for you guys. Pascal, a guy who had no votes cast tonight, is now vulnerable.
Well, that feels like purple, Jeff.
3, 2, 1, reveal.
I told you it felt purple.
Pascal, you need to bring me a torch.
Amen.
No, Pascal. Pascal is crazy. This game's crazy.
But weirdly enough, it's good for Dalia's game. She gets rid of a person who beats her, but also secures a jury vote. He's not an all-time great character, and in hindsight, his placement in Cute might be controversial due to his post-season activity, but I think due to his content on the season, he belongs in Cute.
So, this is what I want from you guys. I am going to find you food. I'm good at this for some reason. I think it's because I grew up around the ocean. But there are two things that I just think that we're not doing correctly, and the fire and that shelter is not good. Everybody was sleeping under there. They were asleep. I didn't have a place to sleep.
I told you I'd be glad to move over as far as you wanted to. You said, no, I don't need any more. This is all I need.
All I want is a roof over my head. And I want to feed you because I want us to win.
Great job,
Kathy. Kathy Vavrick O'Brien. Kathy is so cute and endearing throughout the entire season. The scrappy older woman, she goes from being a total pariah of the tribe and frankly kind of annoying, and she doesn't understand how social dynamics work, until Gabe calls her out on her shit and there's a complete turnaround where she's part of the tribe and thriving. The swap also helped. She's one of the first examples of somebody changing through the game, which is obviously a huge thing in modern Survivor. She was the first blossoming underdog story in Survivor, truly ahead of her time. If Vesepia had not broken open the Fallen Comrades immunity challenge or just taken her to the final two, there's a chance she wins the game. In fact, I would say she's the biggest jury threat on the board besides Pascal. Her implied flirtance with Rob is one of the weirder things on the season, especially the way Rob calls her a Sarah.
And I was sitting across from this young fuck. And I'm going, I'm going to pound beers and eat pizza with this guy. Heard a lot about you.
I've heard a lot about you.
I'm a little hesitant on why he just suddenly decided to take me on as his soulmate or whatever it is. It was so quick, and I just don't trust that element of it.
We're going to sleep well under mosquito netting, my God.
Does that mean that we can sleep without pants on? Don't panic.
No, you're curious.
No.
I love Kathy, but she is not Cleopatra. Kathy plays one of the most fascinating games of old school Survivor and deserved her all-star spot, arguably more than anyone else on this cast. She lands in love as a very memorable final juror who stole our hearts.
Maybe she screamed.
Let's scream.
Nalia Dennis. Miss didn't play the game for the first 24 days. Nalia is an adorable, sheltered, naive, precious little Mormon snowflake who is very endearing. The scene of her offering the half-eaten mint to the tribe and Sean hilariously comparing it to offering a piece of doo-doo and talking endlessly about how nice her hair smells is so funny that it leaves me with a positive take on her character.
She's going on a little too much about her shower and how clean she was. She's so damn sweet.
I wish so bad I could have brought something back, you guys. I feel horrible telling you guys about this. Did you guys feel horrible telling us?
No, but then we also brought back some food.
The only thing I have left to share is this mint that I shoved in my mouth really fast. So if everybody wants to take a little nibble.
I'm okay, sweetheart.
No, you guys, it's good. It's a little hard-tack mint. I don't want it.
You're offering 7 starving adults a piece of candy out of your mouth. Keep your mint candy, man. You know, that's like saying, anybody wanted this piece of doodoo?
I do like how she does convince Pascal to turn on the road 2-4. I will give her that.
I've been nothing but honest to everybody and following my heart today. I would be lying to my heart and to myself if I went up there and voted for Sean tonight. This is really how I feel, Pascal. If me and you are going to get anywhere towards the end, we have to do this. Well, we would be fools not to. I'm not going to go out 5th or 6th. We've worked too hard. We've been here for too long, worked too hard, and I'm not going to go out like that.
She has a great chance of winning, but absolutely sunk her chances at Final Tribal Council. Yet, despite that, still almost wins. But the history of Survivor is better off for it. Nalia is in the same archetype that we've seen of this cute, young, naive woman, and she lands as someone more memorable than Elizabeth, but not as great as Colleen, and I'm actually shocked that she wasn't chosen for All-Stars over Amber or Jenna. Nalia is too sweet for the game. She for sure goes in cute.
It's too much drama.
Vesepia Towery. I like V a lot. I'm not going to sit here and act like she's an all-time great character, but when it comes to the underdog archetype, there's few examples in the show that fit it better than V. I do not understand why Jeff Probst dislikes Vesepia so much. She's an extremely underrated character, gives underrated confessionals, and created the foundation of the successful under-the-radar player.
Sarah has a very cute body. She paid a lot for it. And if you have it, of course, flaunted.
I wouldn't say she's the best under-the-radar player from a gameplay perspective, but V is just such a rootable presence on the season, and the fact that she won was a great thing. Her luxury item strategy of using a notebook to write information about every castaway down was an absolutely brilliant move, and she was one of the first to completely break the game to a point where a decent amount of rules had to be changed after the season. She's a game changer. I don't understand why she's so underrated. A lot of people say she's not an entertaining winner, but I would have to strongly disagree with that. Her relationship with Sean and her unique take on the game were incredibly fun to watch. I would have loved to see her on Winners at War, aka a season that completely lacked a black woman on the cast. I would have loved to see what she could have done on that season if she was willing to play it. One can dream. She also has the best reaction to winning.
The winner of Survivor Marquesas.
Falling down and laying down on the floor for a bit, it's great. Vesepia is going into good player, and she's one of the best characters in this tier.
Well, guys, this has been a wonderful ride for me. The vision was brought to me about 4 months ago, and just like the scripture says, that I write my vision down and I make it plain on tablets, and that I kept it before me each and every day. And from the day I came out here I made several things clear that I wanted to do. The first thing, I wanted to have a strategy. And I saw that strategy all the way to its completion. The second thing was, I promised myself that I would develop relationships with every single person. And I value each and every one of you. And the third thing was that when I came in here, I didn't want to come in here and ride anybody's coattail. I wanted to prove myself with my work ethics, with my spirituality, and with my gumption to come out here and be the ultimate survivor. And I feel that I contributed wholeheartedly, 100%, to everything that I did. Even when people call me deceiving, I still were friends to all of you.
Marquesas was a season I actually really liked on rewatch. It felt like the first step into what the game would eventually become. The first three seasons of Survivor seemed so alien in comparison, but Marquesas is where it started to feel more like Survivor. Massively underrated one-time players on this cast, and also the birthplace of the great Boston Rob. It's also bizarre that him and Kathy are the only returnees from this season, because there are some great characters I would have loved to see on a return, like Sean, Vesepia, Nalia, shit, even Gabe I would have liked to see on a return, just to see if he learns how to play the game, you know? Next time we'll be looking at one of my least favorite seasons, Thailand, and I will be explaining how most of the characters totally suck outside of a couple of them. Should be fun. Thank you for watching.
Can't you feel a brand new day? 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 Da, da, da.